here is actually stating a very simple sequence of events. It begins with how everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And it ends at how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So Paul, in this particular passage, began with a quote of the Bible, Old Testament. And it ends with a quote, a different quote of the Old Testament. But in between, it is a very logical sequence. But the way he phrases it put a powerful necessity. If everyone who call on the name of the Lord will be saved, but how? It's necessary for them to believe. It is necessary for them to hear. It is necessary for someone to preach to them. And it is necessary for whoever who is preaching to be sent. So this progression brings across a very powerful sense of necessity. This is not something that, you know, may happen, should happen, somehow will happen, but this is something that we must make it happen. So we begin with this sense of powerful necessity out of what? Now, if you learn how to read the Bible, the first thing you learn is to read the Bible passage in context. So we have two contexts here. One is this passage within the context of Romans, the books of Romans, and number two is this passage within the context of the two Bible Old Testament quotes, before and after. So let's do the Romans first. So what question was Paul answering? What topic was Paul actually discussing in this very commonly quoted passage to say, whenever we want to send somebody, yeah, we want to send somebody to preach the gospel, we quote this passage. But what was Paul actually talking about? And if you realize that in the progression of the book of Romans, the book of Romans began with everybody needs the gospel. And then he talks about why it is that we are justified by faith, why faith is necessary. Now, at this point, Paul is tackling a very different question than previously before. At this point, if you read the passage before and after chapter 9, chapter 10, you realize Paul is tackling the question is, if the gospel is so important, if the gospel is so good, why haven't the Jews believed it? So this is the context which Paul said, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It is, bring good news to whom? Actually, if you read it carefully, it is how beautiful it is of the feet of those who bring good news to the Jews. So this is something that Paul is tackling, that we tackle today, especially here, especially in this context. So we are living in a multicultural environment, and we are living in a multicultural church. So when we walk out, when we commission, when we think like Paul is, Yeah, there are so many different people to spread the gospel to. There are so many needs around us. Okay, we have plenty of work to be done in the city of Lowell. And in the city of Lowell, we are, after all, a Chinese church. We have a lot of Chinese-speaking friends and family that we need to outreach to. Plus, we here speak really good English. We are born here, most of us, or some of us are born overseas, but we learn our English. So we are also, you know, obliged or capable of preaching to local people who, you know, speak English growing up. And as Pastor Deedon just mentioned, my first time I come to Lowell, I come taking the gospel to the Cambodians. So this is the question that Paul is asking, is the necessity of finding somebody to be sent, the necessity of somebody to preach the gospel, the necessity of people hearing the gospel, the necessity for people calling upon the Lord to be saved, all is never limited to the Jews should do this, the Greek should do this, the Chinese should do this, the American should do this, the Cambodians should do this, the Hispanic should do this. No. It's always in the context that both the Jews and the Gentiles, the Chinese, the Caucasians, the Latinos, everybody have the same necessity. The necessity to call upon the Lord to be saved. Now, so this is the context of this particular passage within the book of Romans. Now, switch context. We switch to the next context, which is the beginning. In the beginning, Paul began quoting this verse in the Bible. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And our friends who translate the Bible, work at the NIV translation of the Bible, very diligently put a little footnote there and say, it's Joel 2:32. So we don't have to look for the entire whole Old Testament and find that particular verse. Somebody has done the work for me. So it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance. As the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Now, Paul is pretty good at his Bible. So Paul never quote his Bible out of its original context. So what is the context of the book of Joel? In the book of Joel, actually, the context is there was, we don't know, it's probably a metaphorical disaster, but there was a disaster of locusts. And it is metaphorical for the invasion of the nation of Judah by the Gentiles. So they are going, the prophet Joel say, they are going to suffer a major, major loss. And because of this loss in the battle, because of this defeat, there will be a severe famine. And after the famine, don't worry, because the Lord is going to restore. So, if you go back, well, we have all have the Bible app. Let's all click our Bible app or turn our Bible to Joel chapter 2. It's in the Old Testament, after Hosea, before Obadiah. So if you greed. So the chapter of Joel chapter 2 began, verse 1, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, is close at hand. Now, pick up this particular phrase, the day of the Lord. This is a very important phrase, both in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in the Old Testament in the book of Joel, in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah, and in the Testament in the Gospel of Luke. They all pick up this particular phrase. The day of the Lord is coming. And what does the day of the Lord look like? Well, if you read on, I don't have the time. The day of the Lord is, there's a tremendous army. And the earth will be shaken. The heaven will tremble. And then, everything will be destroyed. So if you turn down in verse 11, at the end of verse 11, it sounds like this. The day of the Lord is great. How great? It is dreadful. Who can endure it? Who can endure it? So it's a major, major disaster. And most people will perish in this disaster. But yet, if you go down, the answer is verse 18. Then the Lord was jealous for his land and took pity on his people. The Lord replied to them, I am sending you grain, new wine, and olive oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. So this is actually the context. Remember what's Paul's context in the book of Romans? What was Paul trying to... The Paul's context in the book of Romans is, okay, now you say this gospel is so great, then what happened to the Jews? And Paul is saying here, this is what happened to the Jews. They were destroyed in a major disaster. Only a small remnant of people can survive, had survived. And now, the Lord's favor has returned. The Lord has again take pity on the people, on the Jewish people. Therefore, this is the time we help them call upon the Lord. This is the time we help them come back. This is the time we need to preach the gospel to them, because in the past their nation suffered a huge calamity, a huge struggle, and now the Lord is willing to restore. It's the time. It's the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord comes with destruction, but the day of the Lord also come with restoration. Now it is the time to restore them. If you read the news, if you actually have gone out and talked to people, 20 years ago, I talked to the Cambodian around here, calamities. If you know the history of the nation of Cambodia, Pol Pot and Khmer Rouge, they killed the communists, taken over the revolution, killed 1/3 of the population. And when we were knocking on doors, none of the family I've met in Lowell, Massachusetts, the Cambodian refugees, none of them have an intact family. Either the father is dead, the mother is dead, or they have no parents and they have their grandparents. None of them have an intact family. If you read the news today, same thing is happening now at the southern border of the United States. Broken family, calamities. Oh, by the way, those people that didn't come from Mexico, by the way. The people you read on news that got the family separated, they come from Honduras. They come from El Salvador. They come from Guatemala. They come through Mexico to the U.S. border. Okay? And 2 years ago was in Honduras. What shape is Honduras in? So we are talking to missionaries there. And the missionaries said, one time we have a church. We invite all the neighbors to come in. And they asked them this question. In the last six months, how many's family was robbed at gunpoint? And how many of you women has been raped in the last 6 months? Half of the people raised their hand up. This is why it is necessary to bring the gospel. It is why it is necessary to have somebody sent. This is why it is necessary for us to tell them about Jesus Christ. The necessity is not because that we are living in good times. The necessity comes because we are living in a terrible time and people around us are suffering without us understanding, without us noticing. So it began, it sounds, you know, if you read just the book of Romans, okay, the book of Romans sounds like a very promising, right? Oh, everybody calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And we just go. We go and we, and you know, they will believe and they will call on the Lord. And we go, we tell them about Jesus and we, you know, we are sent. We are going to have a good celebration. Yes, it's true. Don't forget the context. The context that we are going out today, the context we are going out today is because today's world is majorly broken. Today's world is in deep trouble. That is why it is necessary that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And then, but bracket that, the other end is Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. And I think that's a song, right? Da 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 da. How beautiful the song. I don't know the song, I don't know the lyrics. I just remember hearing a song and singing a song at that church. But regardless, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And if you read, you know, as I encourage you, if you read through Isaiah chapter 52, it actually tells the same story as Joel chapter 2. It says, you know, Israel, you, in the old times, were slave in Egypt. And now, just recently, you just got a major defeat at the hands of the Assyrians. So you were slave for Egypt in the old times, and you are now slave under the Assyrians. But don't worry, I am going to restore you. And this is the context of this passage, is, no, I'm going to send the people who bring good news. What is the good news? Your God reigns. no matter what deep trouble this world is in, no matter what pain people are suffering through, it is paramount that it is most important that our God reigns. None of this happened accidentally. None of the calamities ever happens outside of our God's plan. And now is the time in God's plan that everything have its meaning. Everything come back and say, our God reigns. This is the message. This is the message that the beautiful feet is bringing. It's not that, yeah, somebody is going to fix your problem. You know, yeah, you can go apply for, you know, a federal assistance here. Okay, you are going to apply for this welfare here. You know, we are going to feed you soup. It's not. At the end of the day, the only message that bring comfort is that three words. Our God reigns. God is in control. And therefore, when we preach, when we teach, when we go out, the message is not that we have some good news, as in, you know, Walmart has some good product and it's on sale. Walmart is not God. We are God. We are not selling God. We are following God's command. It's not an option. It's a command. It's not an option that, yeah, it is pretty good to come to church. Yes, it is pretty good to know Jesus. No, it is necessary to know Jesus. It is necessary to call upon the name of Jesus. It's not an option. It's not an option because out of all the problems, out of all the things that's happening, all the messes that we are in, we have one message that matters is our God reigns. So as we, you know, understand this is part of the sermon series out of, you know, experiencing God, right? And this is, you know, the sermon is supposed to tell us, you know, how can I understand the will of God? How can I understand the will of God out, you know, in our daily living, in our daily circumstances? And honestly, if you read the book, if you read the book, you say, you know, yeah, a lot of things happen in this world that, you know, doesn't really make sense. You know, she was talking about his daughter getting cancer. And he's talking about, you know, he's being called to a mission that, you know, somehow, you know, absolutely doesn't make sense because nobody's going to pay him. And in big things and small things, you know, sometimes we walk into a situation that, you know, is a little bit iffy. You know what I mean? You don't feel comfortable. Now, if anybody who live in this area for more than 20 years, great. Not Massachusetts, live in Lowell for more than 20 years. Good. I'll tell you one thing. Lowell, 20 years ago, was not a peaceful city. 20 years ago, before our previous police commissioner, Lowell actually had a pretty high crime rate. So it is actually not particularly comfortable for us to go from door to door and knock. It's actually, I was going with Professor Chi, Charles Chi, a professor in Northeastern. He was driving his car. And we park our car, we get off, and knock at people's doors, looking behind. It's like, somebody's going to steal his car, you know. It is like, law was that, was like that, especially the part that is not the good part of town. So, sometimes, you know, when God call you to do something, God call you to do something, you somehow, you know, have your back of your head at the back of your neck stand up. Sometimes you feel a little iffy about it. Sometimes you don't sure, not sure about what they are doing, what you're supposed to do. Remember, our God reigns. So I was having lunch with another senior of mine. She told me something that I always remember. You don't really have to ask God His purpose. We always say, you know, we have to pray about knowing the will of God. Well, she said, you know, if you know God, God is very, very willing. God is waiting. God is waiting at the door. God is waiting to tell you what His will is. The reason you don't know the will of God is you are not ready to obey. Don't ask what the will of God is. Don't ask. Is ask yourself, am I ready to obey whatever God tells me to do? Am I ready to obey what God's plan is? Do I really believe that our God reigns? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we prepare to go out, we want you to open our eyes, open our minds, and give us sensitive hearts to see that the gospel is not a good thing, it is a necessary thing. It is not only good that people listen, hear the gospel. It is necessary for this generation to hear the gospel. It is necessary for our neighbors to hear the gospel. It's not only necessary for the Chinese, it's necessary for the Caucasian, it's necessary for the Latinos, it's necessary for everybody around us. It's necessary in Lowell, it's necessary in Boston, it is necessary to the ends of the world that your gospel be preached. That you sent your people, you sent your saints to preach all around the world. Because you reign. Amen.